Welcome back to the Bright Lights of Broadway. This is the Cosmic Curtain, the official podcast of Cosmic Circus Broadway. I'm Brian Kitson, head writer over at the Cosmic Circus and Cosmic Circus Broadway. And joining me today as co-host and fellow boxy babe is RJ Miller Zelenko. But today we have somebody else joining us. Should I do the honors, RJ, or do you want to introduce her?
Oh, no, you go on right ahead. You're in a flow.
So joining us, we have Kylie Wiand. Yes, there we go. I had to correct myself because my phone is British, for those who don't know. So welcome, Kylie. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
We are so excited to have you on. This is the first time we've had a guest on the Cosmic Curtain. And we are going to be talking about the Rocky Horror Picture Show 49th Anniversary Spectacular Tour. Whew, try saying that five times fast.
Yeah.
So we're just going to jump in. Obviously, spoiler warning, if you haven't seen this film in the past 49 years, I do not know what to tell you. But if you're listening, congratulations, you're about to be spoiled. All right, so before we get started into what happened the day of, because there's so much that happened the day of, I just want to know where everyone's been with this show prior. And Kylie, I am going to start with you. What has Rocky Horror's presence in your life been like?
So, I've actually been in it before. Like, I did it in a production. So, I think that was, like, my second experience. I saw it in high school for the first time. So, it's always kind of been, like, in my life a little bit. But seeing this was way different.
So let me ask you this. What is it like being in it comparing to just seeing it? Because I feel like that is like,
I think
that we're going to have some thoughts.
Yeah. So also when I did it, it was not a shadow cast. It was like, we did it. So you obviously have way more work, but I feel like you have a little bit more freedom almost. Mm-hmm. Because you're not exactly following the movie, or you don't have to follow every single line every single moment. So I think I like that aspect a little bit more, that you get to have a little bit more freedom with it. I had a great time. I loved it.
I mean, I think that's granted, I've never acted before. I have two actors here joining me, but like, I think acting always gives you a little more of that that wiggle room to be the character and mm-hmm. to live it slightly differently.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, RJ, what is your relationship with Rocky Horror?
I don't have one. Zero. Zilch. I knew it existed, and that is the extent of my relationship with the show.
So did you know what this was going into it at all? I mean, it's hard to know what this film is before going into it at all, but like,
I mean, I, because of its dynamic and because of what it is, I knew in general that it was kind of, if I can use the word, exotic, character wise, but outside of, did I truly have any idea what it was? Like, actually, no. Like, I just had seen the album cover, or the you know, the movie, the title cover, and that was it.
Just the big old lips. I think Frankenfurter's on it, but
yeah,
it's
pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting because I'm pretty much smack dab in the middle of the two of you. I had some experience with Rocky Horror prior to seeing this 49th anniversary spectacular. But it began with Glee, as all things should in life. Saw Glee, was like, this music is fantastic. I got to see the film. And I decided I was going to watch it with my mom, not knowing anything about the show. She knew nothing about the show, which is shocking because she also like grew up in the time. Like, granted, she would have been like 20 when this film came out, but like, this was, well, she would have been in her teens, actually. But this was during the time that it would have been known, and she knew nothing about it. And so, being 19 and not out of the closet yet, and watching this one with my mom was just like, It's a core memory. It's a core memory. You don't ever forget that. You don't forget your first time, unfortunately. And I guess it's, when it's with your mom, you're just screwed. But we're going to go ahead then, and we're going to jump into the film, I think. I think that it's easier to talk about the film and then the experience, because they are, even though they're together, they're very different. Like, you can see this film, and then you can experience whatever the hell we experienced that night. So, general thoughts on the film, general thoughts on Rocky Horror. Like, Kylie, I feel like because you've had such an extensive, like, life with this film,
yeah,
with the story, you're probably a little more open to it.
So, like I said, the first time I saw it, I was in high school, which was a crazy experience to sit there and watch that in my high school auditorium.
Wait, in your high school auditorium?
Yes, yes.
What high school did you go to? Do I even...
One in Colorado.
Say no more.
No, I love them. I really like the film, honestly. I think it's so corny. But not in, like, a cringy way, almost. Like, you know how some of it is just super, just like, ooh, that's, like, funny, but it shouldn't be funny. I like the film. I think it's great.
So before I move on to us two, do you think your relationship would have been different if you would have been an adult watching this for the first time instead of like a formative kid at high school?
Sure. I think so for sure. Having going into it, like, I did that show the second I moved here. So 2018, barely an adult, and now I'm in this show, doing this show, reliving it. So yeah, I definitely think I would have had a different experience.
Fair enough. I mean, I feel, again, formative years, experiences, and I am going to address this a little bit later, because I was talking with somebody who grew up with this film and gave a very interesting perspective. Being a trans individual, they had a different experience than some other things. But I'm gonna first go to RJ, because you are the newbie here, and I'm sure that this was not a film that you by all means
correct.
This is a film.
It is entirely, once it started, it was entirely obvious to me as to why it took me as long as it did to see it.
Yeah. Do you know, I had this thought prior to the show, and I was just like, oh, RJ's never seen this. I did not know how you were going to handle it. Not that you couldn't handle it, but like, I was like, this is going to be interesting because you're 30 years old and you've never seen this film.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, I knew that it was going to be an experience, not even just our whole experience, but the movie itself. I knew it was an experience. I knew it was different. I knew it was out there. I think what I was hoping to capture by seeing it was why. Like, why is it such a big thing? It has a clear... like mass following. It has surpassed the decades of time in which it's been created. And honestly, after seeing it, I still do not have answers to any of my questions. Which is why it's so interesting to hear Kylie's perspective, because I'm curious, Kylie, how did you hear about the film to watch it? Like, did you just stumble in and you and your friends were like, let's see this film?
So some of my friends have seen it, and they're like, oh, we should watch this. And I was like, okay, like, I don't know what this is about. Literally, I had no clue. I didn't know what I was walking into. And they were just like, yeah, let's watch it. And I said, okay. And of course I'm a teenager, so I don't know what I'm talking about or what I'm doing. And so I thought it was funny, and I like to sing, and it had all the cool songs, all the cool harmonies, and so I think that's the part that drew me in.
Yeah, kind of that like theatrical spin on a movie, which like yeah. looking back, honestly, there I feel like in recent years there are plenty of those, right? But we don't see too many theatrical musical
yeah.
movies from yeah. that time period. So in that sense, it does make sense to me why it became a staple, because you did like you didn't hear about a ton of musicals. Maybe musical. I mean, because you don't have like the technology back then to do the sound mixing and do like everything had to be either live or whatever they were doing back then. I'm not even quite sure, but it's an interesting to know. But I could see like it makes the demographic of folk that are interested or have been interested, it does make sense to me. I don't know how to explain that, but it does.
Yeah, and I think another part of it is like I grew up with a very creative father. He literally like would make vehicles. He had a hearse. So stop. I'm so serious. We had HearseCon every year.
My worst nightmare.
So I think I just got very used to feeling outside of the norm a little bit, and that's what that movie is to me.
You know, it's something that crossed my mind about this film too, is that not only for all those reasons that you both mentioned, which by the way, I did not realize until today that they sung all of Wicked live on stage, like the stage as they were filming the film today. They did a little behind the scenes thing. And that's crazy to me that we're just, you know, you're mentioning that like this is something that used to happen and we don't do it anymore. And now we're maybe going back to that. So First off, love that. But I think what's interesting is that it also was, and probably why it's still a cult classic, is that it was a musical that was for people who didn't necessarily love musicals. Like it was like, this is for kind of like the people who were, that felt like the outcasts in the underbelly. And like, and I feel like that has to be the reason why this develops such a cult following, is that it has spectacular music, but it's just this story for people who want to be a little weird. I mean, I don't know how else to describe that. That's something that I really stood out when I was just like, not that they're weird, but like, they're just, you're kind of embracing your differences. You're kind of embracing what makes it happen. And again, I bet you a lot of these people grew up on it. Like I said, I was talking with somebody and they mentioned that like it was formative in them experiencing their gender. And they're like, I know it sounds weird, but it's because there was nothing else that I had to express that until I saw that film. And I was like, that's interesting, because I did never thought of that film being that way. But then again, saw it as an adult, you know, came into it with a different perspective.
Agreed.
So speaking of the story, though, Kylie, explain it to us. I don't know if, like, if you can see the sheet, I just love that. Is there a story? Can someone explain it? Aliens. Like, this is just all, these are my general thoughts as I'm typing out, like.
Well, I feel like it's so simple until we get to the aliens. Like, Brad Majors, what's her name?
Janet, we scream her name how many times and you forgot who she was?
I know.
Actually,
anyway,
we don't scream her name. We scream something else, but.
Correct. Brad and Janet, they go on this drive. I'm skipping the beginning because that doesn't matter. Anyways, they go on this drive. They get stuck. Their car breaks down. They go to this castle. They go in and it's just a different world. And it's, I mean, truly, it's like you're stepping into a different world, because they kind of are. Foreshadowing. Anyways.
Yeah.
And they go on this wild experience with these wild people who are nothing like them. And then, yeah, there's aliens at the end because they're from a different world. It's very interesting.
Archie, where did it lose it for you? Was it the aliens? Was it the part where we got to the aliens and you're just like, you know what? We took a left and I don't know where we went anymore. You're like, no, it's the opening scene where they're throwing the rice and I was done.
I feel so bad because it's not like I'm trying to shit on the show or movie at all. It just truly from the get, I was like, what the F is happening? Like the whole time, like the opening scene, which Kylie, even you just said, like, doesn't matter, right? But I think that immediately threw me because I was like, why are we here? And then, yeah, then we jump into the car. So really, okay, the movie starts. And I'm like, okay, so now I feel like we're doing Scooby-Doo vibes. And then it became like, I mean, you could even say Scooby-Doo or like Dracula. Like then we pull up to the castle, right? Then I'm feeling like Dracula or Frankenstein, which of course, like I'm sure that is, there's some inspiration there for that whole sequence of being at the mansion castle. And then, I mean, obviously, we talk about aliens. It was alluding to aliens when we finally get there. And that whole, like, final sequence happens. And I'm just like, does any of this make sense together? Is it supposed to make sense together? I get probably not. Like, that's just the way the movie is. And that's what makes it exactly what it is. But my brain was so, for it being the first time that I saw it, I was like, first of all, I can't understand anything that anyone is saying. I really struggled with the language, which it's in English. But honestly, you couldn't have told me that because I literally was like, are they speaking English? I'm not sure. Just because it was so like neurotic in a good way, just as someone who had once again had seen it before, I was like, there's so much happening. Is there a plot? I can't find the plot. Who are these characters? Who's getting into bed with who? Who's cross-dressing as what? Oh, gay. Oh, aliens. And that was over.
What is that meme? It's just like, pick a plot point, and you're just like sitting there. You're just like, pick a plot point and go with it. What's funny about that, though, is that you guys all said that opening scene doesn't matter, and I think that's the most important scene in the entire film.
Why?
You looked at me like I was crazy.
Why?
Okay, so the thing is that it all hinges on the two aliens who are dressed up like that old photo that is supposed to be, like, quintessential American. And you're setting up the scene that these people are, like, basically Puritans in their thought process. And what it is, it's the film is a metaphor of sexual exploration through Brad and Janet, who are like the growing up on a prairie farm, getting married, and then you end up breaking down at a place you're not supposed to be, and finding a side of yourself that you didn't know that you had shoved so far down, that without that first scene, the movie means nothing.
Okay, Mr. Psychoanalytical. When you say it like that,
I get what you're saying, but I just don't think it needed to be there. I don't think it added. I think we could have there. It could have been a different way to do it. Like they could have started in the car.
But would you have understood exactly who they were if you did not have Damn It, Janet? Like, would you have understood?
You understand it now?
Yes. Yes. But I thought when you guys were talking about the opening scene, I thought you were talking about Science Picture Feature Show, the song. And I was like, that's the best part of this film. Why are we cutting this out?
No. It should have gone right into that, right into them in the car.
I do wonder if this is a lost in translation thing, because I did not know that this was a stage show until we saw it. Until Patricia Quinn was talking about it being a play, a musical in West End. And I was like, maybe this has got lost in translation somewhere.
I mean, in the stage version, you still get that whole, like, wedding, going on the car ride, like, Damn It, Janet. You still get all of that. I don't know. In the movie, it doesn't make as much sense as it does in the stage version.
Okay. Why does it make more sense in the stage version? Give it to me, girl.
Because I feel like you can follow the plot easier. It's literally the same thing, but in my brain, it's like, this is easier to follow.
I think my best explanation is probably the best here, then.
Okay.
Okay, but like, let's be honest. It hangs a complete left at the aliens. Like, you could have a complete film up until that moment, and then you're like, why?
Yeah. Going back to Transylvania.
You never get in the film. You never get the idea that that's where they're actually going until I think you explained it to me, and I was like, oh, that's actually a planet they're going to?
I think they say that, like...
Debatable. No, they do. But...
I was like, look up the lyrics.
Which song? There's so many of them. Please limit it down.
One at the end.
At the point, but that we don't care. No, I'm just kidding. So then, I guess, why does this film stand the test of time? Like, we could have other films that could... You could not make this film today. I would just say that. You could not get away with making this in Hollywood today. But why does it stand the test of time?
I think it goes back to what you said. Like, it's a film for, like, the underdogs and people who don't, quote-unquote, fit in. It's a way for people to express themselves still. And I think that's why it's just stood through all this time, because it's a way for people to express themselves without having to do it in society's standards.
Do you agree, RJ?
I mean, yes, and I think that we probably have those films now that decades from now, they will be like, why was this film popular? Especially because of the growth around, I'll just say, you know, queer art, queer filmmaking. We know that there can be some pretty interesting storylines and musical numbers, and, you know, like, so there are for sure shows out there that we've probably all seen and been like, this is great, and we all follow it. I mean, easily, right? Like, I mean,
sure,
we were just talking about Wicked, right? Which,
sure,
we stand Wicked, like, the test of time, nobody's questioning Wicked, but could there be a day someday where someone was like, why are we freaking out about the Land of Oz with a green witch and a lady in a pink bubble? You know, like, it's just, and I can say that now about this film, like, why are we freaking out about a car ride to a castle that aliens, you know, like,
that, so, aliens
at aliens.
That's becoming a sound bit. I hope you know that.
Perfect.
But you're right. I mean, I feel like there's always going to be movies. I think there's even movies from when we were like children that I'm just like, I watch back and I'm like, ooh, that didn't age as well as maybe they thought it was going to, or like, they didn't care about it aging, you know? It didn't matter at the time because society didn't care about it the way that they care about it today. So you're right. Like, we're never going to hate Wicked. First off, that was the meanest thing you could say, but
I directly said we wouldn't hate it. We wouldn't hate it.
But, like, I think that using where my jumping off point for Rocky Horror was, Glee is a perfect example of, you watch that and that whole show is nothing but, like, questionable decisions. Like, they even make a joke about it in the Rocky Horror episode where the teacher is playing Rocky and, like, seducing children. And they're like, this doesn't seem like this is a good idea. And there, he's like, it's fine. It's just like, can't let my balls fall out of my pants. And it's just like, you know, like, you watch that and you're just like, that would not fly in 2024. But it flew apparently in 2010. I don't know. What about the comedy? What about the comedy of this film? RJ, I'm going to start with you because you are not always a comedy person. I love you, but you don't always like comedy. And this is probably your worst fear when it comes to comedy. I can see it now.
Correct.
Was there any of it that worked?
It's just, it's so hard to say. I mean, straight up, no. And I only say that because I was so focused on just trying to figure out what the heck was going on, period, that much of the comedy I either was completely lost on, and this is where I'm having a hard time separating the film from the experience, because as we know, there was so many other things happening that it contributed to my ability to focus literally as to the comedy or any given aspect of the film.
Actually, I just jump into it. Let's talk about the experience as well, because you're right, it is kind of tied to it, and we've covered a pretty good basis of the show. It was very overwhelming. And I'm gonna start with RJ because again, you and I were we had to do the oath. We were the virgins here. Like, it was super overwhelming. And I'm sitting next to Kylie, who knows exactly what to chant and what to chant and when to chant it, and I have no idea what's going on. And I feel like I'm the newbie at a cult. I don't know. Like,
I mean, as a theater person, I appreciated the immersive experience. I appreciated what they were trying to do. I understood coming in, I understood the assignment. I knew that there would be back and forth, that there would be, like, I had seen videos of the experience before. And shocker, like, I am not the most outgoing person. And so
what?
to have to stand up and do the oath and do the things and be interactive was already very much outside of my comfort zone. But I did it. to jump on in with both feet. And but yeah, it does make you, everything is just, the senses are a little bit heightened because you're like hyper fixated on doing what everyone is telling you to do, but also picking up what everyone else is laying down, and all the while figuring out just basic level what's happening.
I do want to stop for a moment, Kylie, before I jump to you, because I just have to tell like the sort of story that happened with the oath. Because Archie, you're in front of us, but you're not seeing what's happening back behind us. And as soon as they said goodie bags, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go buy us goodie bags. And I come back. It's a few minutes later, and I'm just like, I bring the goodie bag, and I'm like, Kylie, what's going on? She's like, you're doing the oath, so you got to put your hand over your heart and grab your crotch. And I was just like, okay, like I don't know what I'm doing, but we're doing it. Like, it was just like full embrace of just like, I'm here for the experience. I don't know what this experience is, but you're telling me I have to do this thing. I guess I have to do it.
I do think I see what you're saying though, RJ, about like it's hard when everyone is literally not screaming at you, but around you. I definitely see how you could lose the comedy a little bit. Even the first time I watched it, we weren't screaming like that, but it was still hard for me to follow. I think I really understood it once I was able to like dig into the script and see like, oh, like those parts are funny, or like, oh, those call outs are funny, but it has to be planned, and it's hard when there's not everyone is on the same page. So I understand how you could lose the comedy of it.
I don't think I would have caught on to half the things if I didn't have you telling me what to say. I'm pretty sure, granted, this was a few weeks ago, but I leaned over and was just like, "What are we saying?" And you're like, "Oh, we're calling her a slut." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." Like, that sounds bad. I mean, like, preface that, like, I would never do that unless it was at the time. But I
Well,
think that you get lost in that. Sorry, RJ, go
yeah,
ahead.
no, you're good. I'm curious, since we have a resident expert here, I'm curious, as we know, the audience participation is a massive part of this experience. And obviously, there were kind of preordained commentary and actions. And I was curious, is that scripted? And or how did that come to be? Do you know, if you happen to know?
So, I don't think most of it was scripted. I think it just kind of came to be like Brad Majors, a-hole. Like, that just came to be because it was so, it was done over and over and over again. But you did notice how there was some times where people were saying things that no one else was saying.
Yes.
So people are like putting their own spins on it. So I think over time it's become like, this is what we normally say. But also times change and people think new things are funny. And so they'll just add them in.
So it kind of becomes like a collective experience of like, this is what we hand down, but this is also how to make it your own.
Yes.
And does like, we that had a happen with just the film, or does it typically happen at live full productions?
But you wouldn't know unless you've gone there and experienced that.
Right.
I feel like there should have been a handbook to this show.
That's why it's really hard, like, for your first time to see it around that many other people. Also in a place like that, it's different if you were like Wayne State did it a year ago or something. And even that was a completely different experience because a lot of those people are going to see the actors in that show and they're supporting their friends and their family. This was at the Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a completely different experience.
And not only was it at the Fisher, but like, these weren't cheap tickets as well. Like, some of these people were paying very good money to be there for that experience, which does change it a little bit because it's like, you don't go to your favorite concert and get front row tickets unless you're gonna be engaged, you're gonna sing along, you're gonna make the t-shirt, make the poster. Like, people are not paying $1,000 to go see Beyonce or Taylor Swift without being there for Beyonce and Taylor Swift.
Exactly.
I have a question. Do you think it would have been different if we would have been in the balcony with the seats that we had originally?
Yes.
Okay. That not would have been as active up there.
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
Because even you could see where we were, there were people walking up and down the aisles, taking videos of themselves during the film. Like, I think it would have been a much different experience if we were in maybe not as expensive seats.
Sure, that makes sense. And I definitely think there's an aspect of the alcohol that was involved because people were drinking. Oh. They were having a great time.
Yeah. For sure.
What about the props? So now, RJ, you didn't do the props, but Kylie and I did the props. I guess from an outward perspective. No, let's start with Kylie. Kylie, talk me through the props. Talk me through the props, baby.
Props are probably my favorite part of the entire thing.
Okay, why?
Because I love to ring that little bell. I love to have the noisemaker. I think that's like, it's just so much fun to be like participating in that way other than just like screaming things, I guess. Like, some places you can throw popcorn and like all sorts of other things. But obviously they didn't allow that at the Fisher. So that's why people had confetti.
Except we didn't have confetti and you were very upset about it.
I know. Everyone else did.
You just wanted confetti so bad.
I know. People have rice. Like, they'll throw rice. So rice will get everywhere.
I think, like, I knew that. Okay, so again, not having ever gone to this, I've heard of these things. And I always think I avoided it because, first off, when someone says the word hazing, you're just like, as a geek in high school, one of valedictorians, you don't want to go and get hazed for free. Like you don't want to put yourself up for that. But you've also heard about, like, the rice and, like, you get involved in stuff like that. And I don't think in my head I thought it was going to be as fun as it was. And I was like a child with that goodie bag. I was thriving.
Toilet paper, so much fun.
So much fun. The party hat. Guys, I have a confession. I still have the party hat in my car. It's sitting in my middle console, just in case I ever need to pop it out.
It was so fun.
It's so fun. But RJ, you didn't do it. You didn't do the goodie bags. First off, I need to know why, but also I need to know what was your experience then of not having said goodie bags to engage the process?
How else do you say I'm a cheapskate? I don't know.
I knew that
it was part of the experience, but I also knew that like literally every other person around us had a goodie bag. And I knew enough about the experience that shit gets thrown backwards. And if I really wanted to throw something, something was probably going to end up in my lap. So
you did it.
It did. Like literally almost every single, obviously the individual things, you know, the bell and the neon, like some things, the newspaper we didn't have, right? But anything that was in the air, I did have. So, but also just, it was not entirely aware, or it wasn't my forethought to be like, oh, I need to purchase a goodie bag before I go inside. And then honestly, by the time that they were talking about goodie bags, we were, as you know, kind of centrally located to the row. And I was like, I do not want to climb over 15 people to go get a goodie bag. So it was a little of both things. But I thought, I mean, we still very much experienced the items without having it.
I do just want to throw this out here that I not only clambered over Kylie, but I totally caught my foot and tripped to get out of my row to go and get those damn goodie bags. So
worth it.
Dedication, RJ, dedication.
The difference between you and I, as we know.
But I also see like how that could have added like another layer for you of like, could you have enjoyed it more, or you could have, it could have made it even worse because you also don't know when to do those things.
Yeah. And I will say like they had those cue cards.
They were not lit up.
That poor girl, the lighting, I will just say, was very poor. And so most of the time, even when she was holding up a sign to kind of cue folks to engage, you couldn't see the sign. And or people were doing it at completely different times. Like, they weren't always following that. So, totally agree, Kylie. I think it almost was. It did ride that line of, like, I'm getting hit in the face with a toilet paper roll. And I don't know why. Like, I don't know. Like, what does this have to do? Like, I think that I did struggle with some of the things made sense. But some of the things I was like, what is the symbolism? I wasn't always 100% on that either.
I mean, that's fair, because I don't, like, they don't tell you what the toilet paper, like, is there actually toilet paper in the film? I don't think there is, right?
No, not in the film, but it's some line. I don't remember the line, but all of them are based off lines, like the Ace of Cards, like, do you hear the bells ringing? Like, they're all lines.
Got you.
Yeah, so literal.
I guess this would be a question for both of you, having been in there. So the people running the lights, those were obviously somebody that was from the Rocky Horror, like the foundation that like keeps Rocky Horror alive. Like, they're the ones that are doing that, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, I would struggle to say yes or no, depending on, because sometimes shows will bring, they'll just hire, like, it was clearly a spotlight. Like, they didn't have specialty lighting. It was like,
sure.
Stage lights, spotlight. And I think they were running the movie literally from a laptop on the table in the back of the theater. So, you know, like, but that is exactly, that was what I would expect from something that is a nonprofit that has people who are literally just volunteering their time. They probably didn't have any type of rehearsal. They just showed up in this theater and they just did it.
I actually say that they probably had at least a few rehearsals, but it was definitely all volunteer.
Yeah.
I mean, not only that, though, they, as we were walking out, and I've seen this on Instagram and stuff like that, this group still does State Wayne every other Friday, like two Fridays a month. So, like, they're probably not used to a theater quite like The Fisher and bringing it alive. But that spotlight, again, and I think once, like, when we talk about the shadow cast, which I want to get into that as well, it does become very overwhelming in that, like, you're trying to watch the movie, you're watching the shadow cast, you're watching for the cue cards, then there's the, you know, there's the Dr. Everett and, or the one guy over here.
The narrator.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of moving pieces that... Again, my first time, I was like, what do I look at? What am I supposed to be doing? And most of the time, I think, Kylie, I was looking at you for guidance because, again, I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. Or I was looking at the ringleader that was on the other aisle who knew that he could do it with his eyes shut. Like, he knew exactly what to do and when to do it. Mm-hmm. What do you think, like, were all the pieces overwhelming? Like, when you factor in the shadow cast and everything.
I think even for me, like, there were points where I was overwhelmed, just because I was like, I don't know who to look at, and I want to give the attention to the shadow cast because they're doing the work, they're putting it in, but I also want to see what's going on in the movie. I knew when to, like, pull things out, so, like, that, I don't think that was overwhelming for me, but it was definitely where, like, oh gosh, I don't know who I'm looking at, or am I spending too much time looking at this? Am I not giving them the attention or love that they deserve?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was the most overwhelming part.
How about for you, RJ?
Yeah, I would agree. There's just a lot. There's a lot happening. Often I was, once again, as a person who does live theater, I wanted to pay attention to those that were acting because I know the time and the effort that goes into putting a show on.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, but obviously, like, they weren't mic'd and they weren't speaking. And so you were trying to follow the pantomime that was happening with,
mm-hmm.
and probably why it didn't sound like English to me, truly, because I was so focused on the cast that the, also not the best sound or a lot of bass in the sound where I was like, what are they saying? What are they doing? And then, yeah, you had the two kind of, you know, cue card and narrator on the very ends of the stage on a bigger stage where your focus is just kind of going all over the place. But I appreciated what they were trying. I understood what they were trying to do. And I think they accomplished what they were looking to do. It just is a lot. It is a lot.
I think it stays a lot until you probably are very indoctrinated into it. Like, obviously, there's a lot of moving pieces and there's a lot happening. And like you said, the pantomime and stuff like that. And like, sometimes they went overboard to try to sell it, you know. Dr. Frankenforter and Brad in the bed scene, like, was definitely one of those moments, and you're like, okay, they're really going for it, and they're really trying to do it because they're trying to get their own reaction, not just the reaction of the movie, but like, they're trying to, like, they're also actors trying to get the energy that they require, that they want from their performances, and they did a great job with that. But I think, like, as that newbie, you're just like, whose focus do I give this to? Like, who do I give my focus to? And it's a little bit different, but I'm going to use this as an example. But RJ, being in Sweeney Todd, there are scenes that are, there's so much going on. But like, you know who to pay attention to. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking of like the scene with Pirelli's magical elixir, and there's everybody's on stage, or like the ones where like there's the story of what happened to Sweeney Todd's wife that's upstairs, and you're like, you know. And this one, there was a clear picture of what you're supposed to focus on. But then if you don't know, they're like, oh, I'm supposed to throw the rice now. That's where that confusion kind of happens, you know? Or like, where do I pull out the bell and I tinkle it, you know? Kylie, do not.
I'm just a child.
But you know what I mean, right? Like, I think that like with a lot of shows, when there's a lot going on, they direct you to where you're supposed to look. And this one, there wasn't as much direction to focus on.
I think I would really like to see them in a space that they're more comfortable with. I think this big of a stage was a lot. And so I think they were really trying to fill it. So I would like to see them in their own space where maybe it's a bit smaller or they're more comfortable with it.
Yes.
I think they would thrive there, and that's probably why they have been thriving for so many years.
Do you think it was confusing? I'm going to start with you, Archie. Do you think it was confusing that they switched out some of the cast halfway through?
I think the first, like, one or two folks, yes. Just because the costuming, if I recall correctly, was a bit different. So you had to just be able to follow, essentially, the movie and then and align it with what was happening on stage. But after like the first or second person, I was like, oh, like they're actively flipping the cast right now. Which I did at the end appreciate, because you saw it. Honestly, I felt like the characterizations were substantially different. Which is just, I mean, it's another cool part of theater, because you see what different actors and actresses bring. So
how about you, Kylie?
Agree. It was very easy for me to follow it, just because I knew what was going on. I knew what these characters would dress like, what they would walk like, what they would act like. But for RJ, for someone who's never seen it, I do understand how it's hard to align that. Even for someone who maybe doesn't do theater, like, okay, how are they supposed to know that they have to align the character in the movie and this and that? Like, I think that adds a lot of layers, but I did appreciate it because it brought a lot more to the table.
And it kind of allowed everybody to have a moment, you know, like as an actor, everybody deserves a moment. Everybody wants a moment. And that was such a big stage that they got to do that on. That's probably not something that they're very used to, and that they got to, everybody wanted to be a part of that and showcase their love for this piece of art. At least I would think so. But before we you know, completely move on to Miss Patricia Quinn, who was there for us, we got to talk about the music. Obviously, the music is a big deal here. I will never not be a fan of "Touch a Touch a Touch a Touch Me," because that is such a classic. But what song stood out to you, Kylie? We're gonna start with you. What songs are always catch your attention?
I love Eddie's song.
Ooh.
Where he comes out of the freezer. That is probably my favorite song of the entire show.
It's a great one.
Yeah, I also think I just hold love in it because when I did it, like, years ago, one of my favorite people was Eddie. And so I'm just like, oh, I love that song and I love that person and I love the memory that it brings for me.
I mean, that's such a great song, though, too. Like, that's like a, that's a hype song. Like, there's a lot of hype songs in the show, and that's a great one.
And he's coming out of the freezer on a motorcycle. Are you kidding me? That's so cool.
And stealing the thunder of Dr. Frankenfurter, who is pissed off.
Oh, pissed. It's so good.
RJ, what song was just like, that's the song I'm going to sing at karaoke from here until I die?
I don't know that I would go that far. I think we might have the same, Kylie, because that song, it felt different than the rest of them. And maybe it's just because I liked the character. Like he felt the most normal out of everyone, and maybe that's why I was drawn to him. And I was also like, okay, baddie, and some type of normalcy, even though it's clearly not normal, but compared to everything else in that moment, it kind of felt normal. And so I think we're also always kind of drawn to the things that, or songs that feel closest to us or most real. And so, I mean, out of everyone in that cast, like, that is the character that I feel like if I were to be in the show, that's what I would go for. So, yeah. I mean, you can always say everybody knows and loves Time Warp. Like, it is the staple So I can appreciate that song, but I can't say that it's like my favorite, but I appreciate it.
Agreed.
We're gonna have to go back for a second because you said you picked the song that's closest to you. What are you saying about me, like in Touch a Touch a Touch Me here, sir?
Hey, I'm not saying anything about you.
I think you might be. It's okay. Science, double picture, science feature, picture show. That is obviously the best song ever. Like, that's what a way to start the show. It's the best. I think like it just sets the tone so well. But also, yeah, Meatloaf's Whatever Happened on a Saturday Night, it's fantastic. Like that is quintessential. Just like that's a rock song. It's just in the middle of all of this Broadway show, you have this rock song with Meatloaf. Like who wouldn't love that?
I think it's such like a turn for a lot of people. I just think it's a lot of, a turn because some people's like love interests are coming back, but then they're killed again, or like this first invention. I don't know if he was his first invention or not. Either
Wasn't he
way.
just a local boy? Like he was like a local man, like a human man, I'm pretty sure. I
I
could be
don't
wrong.
know.
You're an expert here.
I thought he was one of his inventions. And that's why he put him in the freezer. But I could be wrong.
I mean
I don't know.
that probably works. I mean that makes sense.
But you get to see this like anger and like, oh, he's pissed, he needs to go. And by like, oh my gosh, he's my love, and everyone else is just happy to have a good time.
Yeah. It does change the show. I mean, that's the turning point for Frankenfurter where people just really start to like, and then by the time he's carving him up, it's over, you know?
Yeah.
RJ has this look on his face like
I was trying to do some research. Just trying to do some research. 'Cause now I'm curious.
I mean, I think that that's a good point. Like, and even if he wasn't the first experiment, maybe he was something he was going to use for a future experiment because you have him on ice, literally. And of course, probably the biggest draw for so many people was that the original Magenta, Patricia Quinn, had joined us on stage, and not only was she from the movie, she was also from the stage show. And learning that she did the lips for the opening song and like how they held her head in was actually something really cool that I did not know. So, Kylie, I'm gonna start again with you because like this again, I think is like that was something that draws somebody who loves Rocky Horror to come to the show. Is that a selling point for somebody like you who's lived it, breathed it, saw it way too young?
I for me personally, no. I think it's cool, but I don't think it added any like specialness for me. I don't know if that makes any sense. I was like, oh, that's cool, and I loved hearing her talk, and like I honestly want I could talk to her for hours. I just wanted her to tell me stories all day long. But I don't know if it like really added anything for me.
Which is fair. Did you learn anything from there that you didn't expect?
Yeah, I didn't know that she was the lips. I didn't know how they held her in and did all that. I that was cool. And
Slightly
how she
torture
like
device-ish.
we'll move past that.
Love it.
So yeah, it was cool, but I don't know that it added anything for me.
RJ, do you think that that was probably the draw? Like for you, I know for you and I probably wasn't, but like for others, that probably was what like sucked them in.
Well, it's such a it has such a following that I feel like if someone's gonna come see a Rocky Horror, they're gonna come see Rocky Horror. But for sure, the fact that you're bringing in an OG to speak is a massive bonus, right? Especially if you, particularly, I'll say those that grew up with her, maybe or are around her age currently, because I think we all, once again, we identify with those, like, that we can relate the most to. And even though we can't all relate to, you know, stars, she was younger, obviously, when she did this movie. And there were, for sure, people in the audience that I do think were probably close to her in age. And that was probably a... meant even more to them. But I think that she was super well received. I think everyone loved hearing those stories, like you both mentioned. The unique perspective and bringing up, of course, the fact that it was a stage show prior to being a movie and how that all came to be. We don't hear those stories anymore because really, if you want to know them, you have to look for them. So it was cool that When I was looking at the promo, I thought that they were just going to have her maybe sitting at a table out front or something like that, like a meet and greet. And so I did find it very interesting that it was actually a quote-unquote fireside chat type style before the show even began, but also a cool way to ensure that people did see her and did hear her speak, because all too often when you have those folks maybe just sitting out front, or you know, like an author signing books out front, they don't really get the attention that they deserve.
I was gonna say, I've seen this a lot with like book signings lately, where they always have like a chat first, and like you have like an hour chat about the book, chat about what's coming up next, chat like what I went to Ann Arbor recently for one. And so when I saw that, I was like, this is cool, because it gives you that like humanizing moment with this larger than life person. Like for people who have been watching this for 40 years, this was a larger than life individual. And you get this moment where you're just like, sit down and have a drink with me. Let's talk stories. Let's swap your experiences. And like, so I do think it was cool. I think it was like getting this slice of history that is unfortunately soon probably going to be gone. Like these actors are getting older. We don't get this for much longer before it's just a film. It's just a stage show. Time for our favorite question. RJ, you know what's coming up. What is it? What is the rewatchability of this? So, and I specifically am going to ask this question in this way. Would you go to this experience again? Because I think that, again, you could watch this movie again at home. Probably not, maybe. But, like, would you go, now that you've done it once, would you go again to this experience? RJ, I'm going to start with you. Go ahead. Would you go again?
Oh, we all already know my answer to this. It pains me to say. But no, probably not. It's just not my cup of tea, and I'm totally okay with, I'm totally okay with the fact that it is totally some people's cup of tea. It's just not mine. But I can appreciate it from afar.
Fair enough. Kylie, would you go again?
Yeah, I'll probably go at least once every few years. It's just like a fun experience for me. But that's because I've been around it so much, so I'm very used to it. I don't know if I would go to that specific like at the Fisher again, but of course I would see it again.
So I have to say that this is also probably a no for me, but with the caveat of, I am so glad I got to experience this once. I feel like this is one of those things that, like, you have to see it at least once to say that you did. Like there's some things in life you have to experience, and if you don't experience it, you're kind of missing out. And for that, I'm really grateful that I got to see it. Would I see this again, maybe somewhere else and getting a different experience? Yeah, because I've heard of like the Redford Theater. They've done it before, and it's been a big thing. And you know, State Wayne would probably be really cool. I had mentioned to RJ about there was a live show that was going on that I would have seen. We don't have to talk about the reasons why, but there was reasons why I'd go see that live stage show, but it unfortunately wrapped up. I am glad I got to see it. I probably would not seek this out again. unfortunately.
I think you should see it on the stage version, because Shadowcast is very, 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 very different.
The one I would have saw live just ended, so
okay, probably... well, next year.
We'll see what the next year brings, and who knows, you know? But thank you for listening to another episode of The Cosmic Curtain, the official podcast of Cosmic Circus Broadway. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to us at Box Seat Babes or at My Cosmic Circus. If you are interested in finding us outside of our box seats, please check us out at... You can find me at Kitson301. RJ, where can the people find you?
Journey through the past with underscores after each of those words.
Perfect. And Kylie, you are always doing something. You're always in a show. You were in Beauty and the Beast. We talked about you on our podcast. Where can the people find you? Because they're going to want to follow a star in the making.
It's Kylie.kmusic.
Simple and sweet. So thank you so much again, everybody. Until our next curtain call.